League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Good morning. It's 10 a.m. Friday, the 15th of January. This is the Finance Show of Tip TV, and I'm Zach Meir, and I'm joined by Stephen Woodcock, who is head of FX at Plutus FX. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Right. You've had a good run over the recent past. I think it's got to end soon, hasn't it, on the prediction game?
I'm sure the wheels will fall off very soon. Been a great run so far. Last 18 months, 2 years, it's been a really good time, yeah. I think I said a few weeks ago that we're coming into a period where maybe things aren't quite as clear as they have been. And I think it's maybe just make things a little bit smaller these days and go from there.
But it's surprising that, you know, as far as the FX area is concerned, it doesn't seem to have quite the same confusion that the rest of the, you know, the bond market and the equity market has. So, you know, you're not saying you're in an easier area, but it just seems to be, at least in terms of the flows, rather more straightforward.
You could say that, because obviously we've got, if you look at indices going up and down, you know, like something.
Yo-yo,
that would be best, yeah. You know, the oil market and gold, everything. Yeah, a lot of things are flying all over the place. And I suppose currencies have been more controlled than those commodities. But there are still moves there. You know, you look at cable and, you know, euro dollar, every time it gets above 109 and a bit, everyone thinks it's going up. And when it goes below 108 and three quarters, everything's going down. You know, there are moves there. Dollar, you know, the yen and, you know, the yuan and stuff like that. So the currency markets are moving around, but yeah, maybe not quite as erratic as some of the other markets.
They're haven't confused people as much as the equity markets have.
Well, I'm not too sure. They haven't confused me, but I know there's a few people out there that has confused.
Sad people. Okay, well, let's have a look at some of the slides for the show today. Obviously, check out the apps either on iOS or on Android. The Tip TV Finance app, well worth looking at. And we move along. Mike Ingram's Morning Markets, market strategist for BGC Partners. Overnight, Asia weaker again as Shanghai slumps 3.5%. Presumably, the PBOC's attempt to get the stock market up there is not working so far, or they're wasting their money. And it's back into bear market territory, which means it's 20% off the top. Global earnings downgrades outpace upgrades by the most in 7 years. Normally a lagging indicator, I would have thought. But the current earnings seasons and companies' outlook for this year is allegedly pivotal. Lower for longer everywhere. BOE, ECB and Fed all sounding more dovish at the moment. And the BOJ looking more isolated. I think overnight there was no imminent easing, imminent fresh easing for the Bank of Japan.
I think that with the Bank of Japan, I think it's a psychological thing, isn't it? They've, for how long now have they been saying that, no, you know, they're fine with the way everything is and they don't intend to change? But that will probably be forced upon them. And
that's just going to make the yen is just going to go through the roof, isn't it?
I'm not 100% sure about that. But there will be movement in the bank, by the Bank of Japan. But they're obviously going to hold out and just see what happens and see if anything turns around. But, you know, I mean, there was reports this morning. I was looking at one this morning. I think it was Billiton written down 7.2 billion of their fracking holdings. And, yeah. You know, and that's where we are at the moment, aren't we? Everyone's writing down. Everyone's, you know, reassessing. And, you know, this is quite an interesting time, isn't it?
Interestingly bad rather than interestingly good. But anyway.
Well, it depends how you look. It's interestingly bad for economies and, if you like, the world economy. But, you know, we're here for, you know, we're looking at the markets, and as someone in the market, it's fantastic.
I think, yeah? I mean, the Billiton thing just reminds you that the smart money and smart people have been caught have been wrong-footed very badly. I mean, they rushed into shale, they rushed into commodity super cycle, they rushed into, you know, all sorts of things which they shouldn't have.
But I think a lot of that is to do with the fact that, you know, was it a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, we're talking, where do you put your money these days? And I think that's what's happened. People have, you know, they've diversified into areas where maybe they've had new opportunities, maybe, you know, places where they wouldn't have, you know, before placed their funds. And, you know, it's coming back to bite them. And, you know, I'm not a professional at this stuff, really. I'm self-taught, yeah, and I make it all up as I go along. And I just see people on TV talking all the time, and the way that they talk about the market, and they always refer back to, oh, it was, you know, 20 years ago and 30 years. It's a different, it's a new world now. You know, the whole thing is different now. So there's a lot more regulatory, you know, compliance stuff, and the whole thing is totally different now. And so you have to approach things in a different manner, and I think people haven't got to grips with that. So
the textbooks are all out of date.
Well, I don't say they're out of date. Obviously, you look at them for reference, but I do think, you know, you've got to be quite on the ball, and you've got to maybe make up your own ideas these days, which is what I do. And
If people are not capable of being creative in that way, they're in trouble, aren't they?
Yeah. You know, why does something happen 30 years ago, you know, still, why is that still relevant today? You know, like I say, I think I mentioned the other day, you know, we even had the Fed come out and, you know, say, you know, a couple of anomalies in their economy that they don't know why. Well, that tells you something, doesn't it? If they don't know why, they're slightly cleverer than me.
Slightly worrying as well. Okay, yeah. Well, let's go on to the next slide. Omkar Godbole, market strategist at FX Street. All right, let's see if you agree with his homework. US retail sales expected to be down 0.1%, previously up 0.2%. And a weaker than expected data could trigger a technical correction in the dollar, in cable rather. The pair is hovering around 143.72, and we're near sort of multi-year lows there.
Yeah. Well, you know my thoughts on this. I've called it down from 172.
Yeah.
And, you know, once we had the support at 155, it's broken through there. It's en route to 135. Now, we're 142.50 is the support area. And I'm going to see what it does there. We're approaching that level after a bit of a sell-off. So you've got to be careful being short down at these levels. But it's trading heavy still. And, you know, it just be careful with cable, I think, at the moment, because, like we've said before, it's great for breaking levels, looking like, right, that's it, it's cracked it, and it's going to carry on to the next level and comes back and bites you, because that is
cable. We've got a situation where it's too low to sell and too weak to buy.
Unless you're short already, then okay. I wouldn't be selling cable here, no.
OK, let's go for the next slide now. What's trending? BT and EE, the clearance of the EE takeover by British Telecom from the Competition and Markets Authority. It's taken 6 months. God knows what they were doing for that period of time. Asia shares lower as well. Reversed earlier gains on global economic worries. Rather vague excuse, but oil below $30 a barrel on both Brent and WTI has been a factor there, and obviously suggests that things are not looking rather that good on the economic front, or demand front at least. And the Bank of England 8-1 on interest rates. Why somebody's voted on the one, I don't know. But nothing. There's not going to be any change there for months, or possibly even years.
Yeah, that's right. And it, like I say, I think the raise in the US has now, you know, starting to look. Well, is that right? The numbers we had out, or we've had out since out of the US. If they'd have come out prior to that. All right, it may not have actually changed the result, but, you know, we're starting to see numbers out of the States ease again. And, you know, we are in a little bit of a, well, there's pessimism creeping into the market at the moment, isn't
right.
there?
Let's go on to the next slide, if we can. Right, where the punters are trading at the moment, long up to the eyeballs in silver and gold. Maybe we agree with that. Buying dollar yen, which I don't think we do agree with. Same with cable as well. The fruitiest one of the lot, probably being short of dollar CAD.
Strange one, short dollar CAD, isn't it? Because, you know, we've got oil coming through new levels and, yeah. you know my call on that 154, yeah. And that's where I think we're going. And, no, has that changed from, like, the last time I looked at that slide? I think it was slightly less than that. But apart from the dollar CAD, Yeah, I mean, yeah, the silver and gold, you can understand that move at the moment. You know, for so long now, gold has, it seemed to have lost that sort of the safe haven sort of trade, didn't it? But I've got to admit, I think that may be coming back into play at the moment. I think we might be seeing the early stages of that.
Yeah.
And I think certainly gold, you know, it's held these levels quite well now for some time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd only take one day where we see, you know, $30, $40 gold move higher and everyone will be scrambling for it. And, you know, that's where we are with that. You know, if you look at, I mean, I think, you know, all these here,
much of a muchness.
And but yeah, the dollar yen, you know, my thoughts on that. Long-term dollar yen, we go higher, but we're in a consolidating dollar phase at the moment.
People are like so much in the habit of buying dollar yen. I think there's a habit that's just difficult for them to get out of. They like to.
Well, yeah, but buying dollar yen is only a recent habit because don't forget we've come down from miles and miles away down to 0.7 whatever it was, you know. So it's a recent phenomenon, but. But I do think, I mean, I think there's a lot of weakness to come for the yen eventually when they do change. And so, you know, my thoughts on that as well. So, but yeah, apart from that, that's, yeah.
As you would expect. Okay, well, let's just move along now and maybe a bit of live charting, I hope. Starting off, I hope, well, I just wanted to go to gold, because you were just commenting on that initially. The blue line there, 50-day moving average, that looks as though there's a bit of interest there over the last, couple of days. So that sort of ties up with what you're saying. Maybe upside to 11.20 again? 11.
Yeah, that 11.20. And also as well, I like the way, when you look at that, as soon as... You know my thoughts on this. Yeah, I agree with a parallel coming down through there. I might slightly adjust that, the way that that's drawn. But also with the moving average, and obviously I don't know if that's a stochastic, the green line, is it, or whatever?
That's the 10-day. Well, this is the 10-day average. This is just the RSI.
Oh, right. Okay. So, but what I look at that, and that says to me, right, well, what that's trading, like black boxes are looking at that, and they're sort of like programmed. And off that, you could say that's going to rally.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the feel of it. I go more on the feel, don't I?
Right. Well, let's just have a look at dollar Canadian, because that is almost amusing the way that's moving at the moment. It's a locomotive type of situation.
Yeah.
It's really, really strong moves here. I mean, these daily candles, you know, it's very, very strong stuff.
It is very. And like we've been saying for some time now, it's an oil trade at the moment still. And, you know, from 106, I said it goes to, you know, I said, well, let's 133 first, and 154 is my ultimate goal. But, you know, we're in a period at the moment where I'm a massive dollar bull. I'm still a massive dollar bull, although we're consolidating at the moment. I can see some levels that if I told you what I really thought, yeah, you'd go, oh, don't be so stupid, yeah. But I'll keep them to myself in a minute. But I see, you know, I see the dollar onward and upward still, and with the oil aid in that, I think that I'd say that was one of the most obvious moves I've seen for a long time.
Right.
And, you know, it's still there, isn't it? Why do you jump in and sell that? There ain't nothing there that says sell it, unless you're a top or bottom picker and you're just going to chance it.
Right. Okay, well, Stephen Woodcock, head of FX at Plutus FX, thanks for coming in today and opening the show.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.